Well, what a delight to be back with you. I first heard David and his team at a convention a while back, and I'm so pleased that CareNet trusted me and said, you know, let's bring them. Because seriously, how many of your, do your heads hurt? Okay, are your ears full? Because I'm going to keep talking, so get ready. How many of you have not heard me before? I'm really glad you're here. How many of you listen to that with your own children in mind? How many of you listened with your grandchildren in mind? How many listened with yourself in mind? How many listened with your clients in mind, your volunteers, your staff? So it was relevant. I'm so excited. I knew that it would be. Well, let me give you some categories that you can maybe wrap your mind around with all this brilliant information, such timely data and information, and there was wisdom they shared. And I hope there'll be something here to add to what they shared with us. I have written a book on this called Screens and Teens, and we've already sold out, so I'm kind of hesitant to actually advertise it, but we ship at our expense. So if you want to wait in line tonight or tomorrow and pay for this, I'll ship it at our expense, or go to our website, celebratekids.com, or go to Amazon and get Screens and Teens. It's also relevant if you have little kids. And I need to sit because I have a bad foot, and if that's a problem, get over it. I have all kinds of texts on my phone. What if they're more important than you? All right. Thank you. The brain, it's so amazing that God gives us one and he lets us use it. When a child is conceived in the mother's womb, only 20% of the neurons in the brain are hardwired. That's why all of us will roll over and creep and crawl and walk and stand and all of that unless there's a physical issue. That means that 80% of the connections in the brain occur after birth prior to the age of 25. How many of you are 25 and younger? Like, your brain is still growing. I'm happy for you. Sorry about the rest of us. We can still learn, but our brain is finished, and so the development isn't as hard. It's not as firm. This is one of the reasons that this generation being raised by technology is different from the rest of us, because the brain is actually different. If we did MRIs of your brain and MRIs of their brain, radically different. The more that we allow our children on technology, younger and younger, the more and more different they will be. How many of you have your own parents who don't understand your children? I know the grandparent generation is angry. They don't get it. I love to come to churches and talk to grandparents about how to connect because they're so frustrated. How many of you have young children, or how many of you were alarmed by the video of the young children on the... Okay, let me tell you something. That is so beyond dangerous. And it's beyond dangerous for their interpersonal skills, their heart development, the heart connection to you, the heart connection to God. Is being hijacked by a tool that I support their idea that it wasn't created, you know, for evil intent, but it can be used for such damage. But it's really, really dangerous for the brain development, because they're learning when they're infants that everything is about them and everything is quick and they have control. Touch it, it changes. I'm in charge. And here's something else, and you can hear it in my voice. I'm really concerned. Do you know that it's radically transforming their eyes? And there's research that suggests that young children are not developing peripheral vision because they're staring straight ahead, and they're not developing their far distant vision because everything is here. In Asia, the majority of children wear corrective lenses. In Africa, hardly anybody does. Because in Africa, they're playing outside and they're also looking at the close up. So a lot of us educators are really, really concerned about what all that means. My book does not include a lot of information about statistics and young children. It is relevant to young children, but I'm going to give you a book you need to read if you're very concerned for the 12 and under. It's by Gary Chapman. How many of you know Gary Chapman of the 5 Love Languages? Gary Chapman and our mutual friend Arlene Pellicane wrote a book called Growing Up Social by the same publisher, Moody. It's called Growing Up Social, Raising Relational Kids in a Screen-Driven World. And their passion in their book is the 12 and under. My passion, because it's the same publisher, and they told me if you don't put screens in the title, we won't let you write it. I'm not an idiot. I put screens in the title. But my passion is more the 13 and older. So I just wanted to let you know that it really is a legitimate concern. I'm going to move on quickly and share with you that there's two key factors we're going to start with. This younger generation being raised by social media and texting, desperate to connect, desperate to still be vulnerable, desperate to still be relational, because God made us that way, but stuck in the reality of technology that's in the way, they have what a lot of us believe are relationship-based beliefs. They put people before beliefs. How many of you have seen that? Clients who come to you maybe, and again, the people who you're concerned about and burdened by here this afternoon, they relate and therefore they believe. That's why one day they believe you and the next day they don't. How many of you have had that happen? You know, one day it's all about, you know, their baby, and then a week later they're going to do something tragic. Or pastors are telling me that one day they're sold out for Christ and they're going to get baptized. And 2 days later, they've changed their mind. Why? Because somebody they're in a relationship with who they prioritize above you changed their mind. Because staying friends, and by the way, they don't even know the meaning of the word, but they use the word, is so important. Raise your hand if that's relevant. Have you seen that? So one of the keys to us in our movement, if they do not consider themselves to be in a relationship with you, you cannot influence their beliefs. And here's what's really scary. Teenagers tell me all the time, and even kids tell me, just because he's my dad doesn't mean I need to care. I never would have thought that when I was a child. By the way, I am older, but I'm not old. Making sure you all know that. Now, here's the thing that's really interesting. Those of us who are older, but how many of you are 35 and under? About 35 years ago, the personal computer was invented. So about 35 and under are the relationship-based belief people, because that's when a whole lot of the screen-driven reality began to occur and change the culture of the home and the environment in which we were educating and raising children. Those of us who are older, approximately 35 and older, have belief-based relationships. How many of you hang with people who believe what you believe? It doesn't mean that you don't have friends outside of your sphere of influence or your belief system, but most of us who are older will put beliefs first. And guess what? That's why our beliefs don't change. Because we tend to not put ourselves under the authority of people not like us. Not because we're arrogant and bigoted, but because we believe there is a right, and a right is a right. And right is right. You can say amen now. Thank you. Just check it. All right. So, is that relevant? All right, here's the second main idea before I go into my five lies. Very, very interesting to me. The younger generation, the kids you serve, the young people you serve, the young people who are coming in from youth groups and doing service projects for you, and some of the girls and guys that find themselves in a tragic situation, they do want to improve the world. How many of you know young people who want to improve the world? How many of you know 10-year-olds collecting coats for the cold and canned goods for the... You know, when I was a kid, I cared about people, but never would have thought of doing that. And there was hunger back when I was a child. But today's young people, here's the thing. They've seen the world broken on the World Wide Web. When I was a kid, I heard about it. And I saw a rough illustration of what a starving person might have looked like. And then a grainy black and white picture. And then a film strip, because I'm older. And then a film. You cannot avoid starving children in Africa today. Am I right? You can be on social media. You can be in your happy place. And then boom, before you know it, there's a feed you didn't want to see. You're watching a great TV show and up comes a commercial you didn't want to see. You cannot avoid brokenness. So here's what's happening to our young people today. Tell me if you think this is true. Raised without hope, they despair. Raised with faith, they want to change the world. How many of you agree with that to an extent? Yeah, I'm excited. And really, it's a test. It's not about me being right. I believe that if you raise children with hope today, that they were created in the image of God to be change agents for His glory, and they were given good gifts in advance, Ephesians 2:10. You raise them to believe that. You raise them to believe that the world needs them. And God delights in our service, even though He could snap His fingers and make it all go away. When we raise our children to know in the knowing of their knowing that they matter, and they matter to the kingdom of God for God, not for themselves, then they can radically come in and change the world at a young age. Amen? And what's really interesting about kids, some kids want to change their local area, and some kids don't care anything about their neighbor but want to go to Africa. And some kids only want to do it if the TV cameras come. You know, we'll collect coats at our school if the cameras come because they came to that school. Now, that's that Hollywood lie of 5 minutes of fame we're all allowed. That's a lie from the devil himself. So what's the point? Some of the girls who come to you believe the baby in there may be the way they can change the world, and that will be their abortion preventative. Some children who were not parented well believe that they can parent well, and that will be the way they change the world. How many of you have had those conversations? Listen for that. And if I'm right, then have that conversation. Look at the guy, look at the girl, and say, you know, I wonder if you parenting well could be a way you leave the world a better place. Because I don't believe that a lot of kids ask these questions, but I do believe that within them is the desire, because we were all created by the same God for His glory. And I think that we're designed to be difference makers. Raise your hand if that's been relevant, and don't lie. Right, listen for the conversation that you can have with the people you serve. I want to share with you the five lies that the Lord allowed me to see when I was working on my book. These are lies. You can tell, how many of you are like, what, she stood up and she has a bad foot? I like couldn't sit. I was so excited. Passionate about this. Five lies young people believe. Five lies we believe if we're not careful. And here they are. And this is so represented by their work. I am the center of my own universe. How many of you have seen it? Young people and older people who believe. So go back to what David and his team taught you and showed you and demonstrated. How many slices of data and slices of illustration there were related to this lie that I am the center of my own universe. The like factor on social media. The fact that I can post whatever I want, whenever I want, and people will pay attention to me, we think. There's so much more that I could say about that. But I want to give you some solutions. Because you can't necessarily radically transform all the young people you serve. That's not your necessary primary call. But how many of you see clients over time? A lot of you do. Parenting classes, or sadly they come back for a second unexpected crisis kind of an issue, even if it's not a baby. I want you to believe that you can make a difference in the conversations you have, the questions you ask, the answers you deliver to the heart needs and the heart cries that you hear. So here are a couple of suggestions. I'm absolutely convinced that serving together is a way to change this center of the universe lie. I believe young people should serve. And when high school groups come to you with a cleaning Saturday or a baby diaper drop-off or whatever they're doing, I mean, praise God for that. But when they serve together as a family, the family has a conversation. And dad gets to say to the son, how did you feel when you gave the new shoes to the guy that hasn't had any in a long time? Oh, dad, I was so scared and I was just shocked it made such a big deal. And then dad gets to say, I agree, I felt the same way. And now what do you have? Connection and emotional vulnerability. So I'm really big about serving together. Using your camera carefully. I took the picture before saying this. A lot of children I've interviewed and worked with have told me that they feel like they're performing on stage for us and they would rather play with us. I am not opposed to the camera. I'm all over social media posting pictures. I'm not opposed to that. But our children are not created to make us look good on social media. A 5-year-old child was doing something on the playground. He did something really cute, and he did not say to his mom, did you like it? He said to his mom, should I do it again, or was it good enough for Facebook? He was 5, and he already interpreted the message of life is, I've got to make my mom look good. Now, I believe that that's relevant to our cause of life. Girls having babies to make grandma happy. That kind of thing is related to all that we're talking about here today. So use your camera carefully. Again, I could talk to you at my booth more about that or read my book if you want. And then one last idea, obviously related to this lie. Teach them their value in Christ. Amen? Teach them that the center of the universe is not them. Who is at the center? Yeah, Christ, God, the triune God. You know, you're not the creator. He is. And it's not about you. Be careful when you say that because, yeah, they don't like it, but it's true. And I think we have to speak truth. What do you think? Oh, yeah, appreciate that so much. So teach them their value in Christ and that everyone is important. It's not I'm more important than you are. That's a lie. But do we have value? Yes, because God made us and He didn't have to. Jesus died for us and He didn't have to. And the Spirit comes to comfort, guide, counsel, and have an ever-present presence. Amen? And so we have a value and God is the center. What do you think? Making sense? Lie 2. Have you seen it? I deserve to be happy all the time. Look at what David and his team showed you. Those TV clips. And if you were in their session earlier today, that clip about all that happiness, I mean, crack me up. It's so scary to me that happiness is the goal. Now, for those of you who don't know me well, I don't want kids to be unhappy. I don't want young people to have a goal of how unhappy can I be today. But I think it's really, really scary that they have the goal of staying happy. Because if your goal is happiness, you make decisions differently than if your goal is joy, peace, righteousness, other-centeredness, leaving the world a better place. If my goal is happy, I'm not a healthy person. And oh my goodness, how many of us, would there be anybody in the room that wants to admit that this is a lie that challenges you? Because I'll admit it. I can be like, I'd rather game than finish my report. I'd rather play my little stupid solitaire game, which I can win if I play long enough, which makes me feel really happy. And I can boot out of the thing that's boring and go to something I want to do because I have to be happy in this boring thing. It's so boring. The dropout rate is 9,000 children a day in the American schools. You know why? Because they're on technology that bores them. Oh my God, I could talk for hours. I better move on. It's just so sad. They think happiness is their right and it's not. Cultivate gratefulness. Not forced thank you notes after Christmas gifts, but true gratefulness is the antidote for entitlement and other aspects of the happiness lie. I can have it now. I can have it new. I can reboot. You guys, I like the reboot feature. How many of you like it? Life doesn't work like that. And aborting a baby is not a reboot of your life. But man, it's going to keep me happy. Or maybe I've got to keep the baby because I'm so unhappy and the baby will keep me happy. How long before a baby reciprocates happiness? A long time. Those fake social media posts where every child is just a perfect little angel. Yeah, show me a poopy diaper next time you post on Facebook. Model and talk about contentment. You know, how many of you know that contentment is hard in America today? Have you guys seen it? You know, I deserve to be happy and oh my goodness. But how many of you know that when you're content, you're different? Would that be true? When you choose contentment, don't you decide differently and don't you relate differently? Because if my goal is happiness, then you have to be, like, I have to be happier than you. Because, like, if I think you're happier than me, then I'm ultimately unhappy. And I can't afford to be unhappy. So I have to make you unhappy so that I can be happy. Am I not sure? Do you think that's going on socially? Oh, yeah. So if we could live content. Of course, the lie is happiness. The truth is joy. A promise from Christ himself. So much more I could say. I will add this. I think we need to do a better job of helping young people process negative emotion. Some of you have heard me speak through the years know that I'm very concerned about the lack of vulnerability emotionally, and I'm very concerned about young people being forced to feel things that they're way too young to developmentally process, partly because they see the world broken and they hear what their little ears should not be hearing. Boys have as many emotions as girls, but they don't have the same vocabulary that girls have, so it's hard. And one of the reasons they're driving toward happiness is that sadness scares them. And does that make sense? So I think if we did a better job of helping them be honest and talk about it and process it, we would be doing a good work, a really good work. Well, I'm going to move on. May I? I'm in charge. I must have choices. How many of you have seen that lie? I mean, look at what they showed you. You know, 11 hours a day for high school kids on screens, and it's not one screen watching the same thing for 11 hours. There's 2,000 TV cable channels, maybe more. TV movie theaters now are open 24 hours a day in some cities, and you can watch the movie many, many times. When I was a kid, I was privileged if I could go one time. And if I liked it, that was cool. But I didn't go 15 times because I liked it, spending daddy's money. Cereal. When I was a kid, let me think. Cheerios, Corn Flakes, Rice Krispies. How many of you? And if my brother and I were good, we got Kicks or Tricks. I know moms today that have 10 open boxes of cereal in their cabinet, and they're all stale. I don't know how you guys choose cereal, because there's a whole aisle both sides and a little bit around the corner. It's ridiculous. And I used to like regular Triscuits. I don't like regular Triscuits anymore because I tasted the rye Triscuits and the garlic and herb Triscuits. And because the world revolves around me and I deserve to be happy, when I go to my store, I want my Triscuits on the shelf. They should have known I was coming. And I stand in front of the Triscuits, seriously. And I'm looking like, where are they? They've got to be here. Does your laughter indicate I am among friends? Thank you. I like you so much. I mean, it's so hard. And our brains are finished and we gravitate toward this muck and mire. Young children, their brain is being wired, and so they really demand choice. How many of you have demanding choice people in your home? How many of you have kids arguing more than you thought your kids would ever argue? People who complain. You know, I've had young people say to me, your Jesus makes a lot of sense, but I want to see what's available next week. See, they're afraid to choose because if you choose big, then you lose your choices. One of the things I've found in evangelism is to prevent Jesus as a God full of freedom. It's not the last choice you'll ever make because they're so afraid. How many of you know college-worthy kids not in college because they couldn't choose? Because if I go to A&M, I can't go to Texas Tech. And if I go to Texas Tech, I can't go to Oklahoma. If I go to Oklahoma State, I can't go to the University of Oklahoma. And I've never been an architect, so I don't know if it'll make me happy, and so I better not go anywhere. So they're working at McDonald's, happy? Raise your hand if that's relevant. Are you trying? No, I'm talking fast. You going with me? So what about the baby? Baby's a choice. Will it make them happy? Well, what if it's not about them anymore? Oh, it might be about them when they're pregnant. Like you're pregnant? They get a lot of conversations. But when the baby's born, who will it be about? Oh, see, it's going to rock their world. They think it's all about them. Oh, you're tracking. You're with me. I'm so excited. Can you tell? Don't always offer them choices. I know that you want to because you want to keep them happy. Don't feed the lie. Sometimes stand up and look at your clients and say, your appointment was at 2. There's another girl who has an appointment now. I mean, I know as hard as that would be. Or I don't know if that's a relevant illustration, but don't always offer them choices. But teach them how to choose wisely. Amen? Because we have to make thousands of choices a day. And so if you're choosing for happiness, then you're going to end up in a bad place. So let's teach them a better standard, right from wrong, accurate and inaccurate, complete and complete, for you against you, biblical, not biblical, for life against life. Let's give them standards other than will I stay happy and be the center of the world if I make this choice? I believe all relevant is scripture. All scripture is relevant. I think if we look at what we were taught by Access, and you're listening to me with such beauty, I think there's certain passages of Scripture that become very relevant. I think there's attributes of God that become very relevant. The attribute of joy from Christ and the need to be grateful for the sacrifice. Those kinds of things, I think, are where we need to be camping with our young people. Again, I'm going fast, but I'm trying to give you the idea that there's a way to summarize the millennial generation maybe in these ways. Remember, there's always a truth to combat the lie. The truth here is that God does give us choices, and with his wisdom, we can be wise. So again, I'm going to move on. Very interesting. The fourth lie, I am my own authority. Again, we saw this demonstrated in the truth that Access shared with us. I am my own authority. Part of that is, well, look at this. Did you know that whales used to live on land? And there were giant sloths in North America that were 17 feet tall? And some dinosaurs had feathers? And the grandpa says, is that so? Grandpa once was a little plugger source of all kinds of information and trivia, and now it's a smartphone. When I was a child and I had a question, I had to leave my bedroom and go find my mom or dad. Today's kids can go to Google.com and Siri on the phone. You can ask Siri the meaning of life, and she's wrong. Have you ever asked her that? Ask Siri if she's ever busy. I mean, hysterical, but wrong. But they don't know. And so I'm really concerned about the fact that they think that they can be their own authority. Part of that is because of authority failures. This is the generation that's never known the government, politics, education of the church to be clean. Leaders in all kinds of forms are accused of and found guilty of horrific crimes. And so authority is something that they don't really highly value. Moms and dads have abandoned them or have lied or manipulated, or it just hasn't worked for them. No clear standard. How many of us when we were young had a black and white standard? You remember that? There was biblical morality and the opposite. And even people who didn't go to church knew a social norm of what was right. Today we have entire churches changing their mind and what the Bible says. Churches leaving denominations because they disagree. Pastors abandoning that pulpit and going somewhere else where they can preach their interpretation. I think the Bible is well interpreted by the author. His name is God. And we need to stand for truth. I'm so proud of you. It's easy what I do. I fly in, tell people what to do and leave. You're my heroes in the trenches. And you stand for truth. And you've got to look men and women in the eye. You call sin, sin. Now earn the right to say it. Don't. And I love that you don't. I mean, I've told people in my workshops that you're my heroes partly because you are doing what the church should do, which is grace and mercy and truth. But you earn the right to talk about why do we hold people to a standard they know nothing about because they've never read the book that teaches it. Man, angers me. You're my heroes. And you have authority. In fact, the Bible says you have the same authority Jesus Christ had, and that is your Father. You stand in that reality, and you rest in Him, and you can change lives. I know you know that. That one clip from HBO where they wanted to go far, far away from your parents. Remember that? How many of you groaned out loud during that clip? I heard it. You moaned out loud because it was an example of, I don't need my parents. How do we fight it? By the way, if I'm right that they don't value authority, praise God, they come to you. Do you understand that? If I'm right that the technology and the media and the mess of the culture is teaching this younger generation that they don't need anybody, that they are their own determinant of right from wrong, and why wouldn't they think that mom has a standard, dad has a standard, and stepmom has a third standard? So why can't I have my standard? I totally get that. So the fact that they come to you, and they care about your opinion, and they want you to speak life in them. You guys, don't take that lightly. How many of you say to the clients, I'm proud of you for being here? Can I see your hands? Very significant. Because you're acknowledging the courageous choice to go outside of themselves and their belief system and find out what really might be going on. And it's hard for them because it's not what their brain is wired for. Be available. Be fully present. I believe that they are desperate for authority outside of themselves. Would you agree with that? I think they're desperate for it. They might not be able to communicate that, but I think they are. So I want us to be available, to be fully present, to talk and really listen, to accept their questions and even answer them. And if you can't answer them, help them find answers. And I'm not saying don't use Google or Good Search or, you know, an Access website or the translator. Absolutely go outside of yourself as well and let them know that. Let them know that you seek authority beyond yourself. I think if you're the client services director and someone asks you a question and you say, hey, I want to go ask the executive director's opinion of that. I think that rocks because that's showing you under the authority of someone and that you understand you don't know it all and it's okay to ask for help. You guys get that? We've got a model for young people that teachability and humility is right because they think they can be perfect like the technology that's raising them, which they think is perfect, which is a lie. But when it breaks, daddy buys them a new one. Another thing very quickly would be that I think we can talk about authority figures that have failed and help them process their feelings. So if there is a local person in your community that's made the news, or if you guys are a politically active family and you talk about politics, I think it's totally appropriate to talk about the good and the negative, that's what's healthy and unhealthy, and process it with the kids. When your girls and guys come to you, and I'd love to learn from you. If you've been in this movement a long time, I bet you have seen less of an ability to process feelings than in the old days. Anybody, is that true? I'm not saying it was always easy for them to process pain and grief, but I think it's really hard now because happiness is their right and their goal, and so it's messy and authority is hard. That is a little look at the authority lie. I need to just pause very quickly and say, 35 and under, Because about 35 years ago, the personal computer was invented and some of this began to go south, if you will. But I want to just ask you, how many of you are finding the lies relevant to yourselves? I just want to ask you in humility. Anybody? Yeah, I really want to encourage you, because I think that our culture at large celebrates independence and isolation, this alone together, together alone concept. And we must be very, very careful that we still know we don't know it all. In fact, proud of you for coming to the CareNet convention. And I don't think you came just for the fellowship, because if you did, you wouldn't be in this room right now. Really proud of you. I'm going to move on to line number 5, and I appreciate how well you've listened. Information is all I need, so I don't need teachers. This is so scary. Not only do they think that they're their own authority, but they've actually bought the lie from technology that information will satisfy them. Where did this lie come from? The split-screen news TV. I know they don't watch the news, but when I work out at the fitness club, there's 3 TVs. They're all on a news channel. It's a split-screen with a crawl across the bottom because there's so much information. How many of you have apps that feed you all day long, or email blasts from Fox News and CNN and your local station and CareNet.whatever? And, you know, oh my goodness, there's so much information. But what's really interesting is that information will not satisfy, because we are created for more. His name is God, and He is wise. We have a generation of young people satisfied with the soundbite, satisfied with a little bit from here and a little bit from here, this chat room, this blog, you know, this book, maybe, you know, this ebook, maybe, and this TED Talk, and this whatever, and it's a mess. They think that information will satisfy them, but they're going to be frustrated, not content, because it ultimately won't. And here's the thing, because they want to stay happy and they think they deserve choice and they're their own authority. Do you guys feel the impact of each lie on the other lies? But there are solutions, and you're part of that. When you show them joy, when you show them authority, when you show them wisdom, which is past information, it's a good thing. Seek wisdom ourselves. We need to seek wisdom. We need to seek God in His person and His voice and His word and real truth with a capital T. And we need to make sure that we're able to go beyond information to knowledge, but go all the way to wisdom. And I don't know how you define that. You could define that as the right application of the right information at the right time in the right way for the right purpose. Some of us define wisdom as agreeing with God about whatever the issue is, but seek it for ourselves. I think this is relevant. If you've been a part of this life movement for a while, you probably remember that women came to you pretty much as an empty slate without much information, and you were able to teach and they believed you and you didn't have to worry about what they had heard that was wrong. But how many of you now have girls and guys coming to you and they have been taught a lie and they believe it? All right. So here's the thing. This younger generation exposed to all this information, from TV, from the lyrics they listen to, from the messages on the apps and the games they play, from the movies and all of that, that communication. They have all of this information. They don't know what to do with it. And one of the things, when I do teacher training and I do a lot of homeschool conventions around the world, we've got to help our young people sift and sort from all that you know what's true and what's false. Sift and sort. But they sift and sort for happy, unhappy. And they're done. I'm not saying you necessarily, but I wonder in your parenting classes. And here's the thing. When they go to a website, they don't know how to sift and sort what you're telling them from what they've heard down the road. Because it's all about happiness. I've got to be the center. Will that center help me stay the center? I think you can actually design a client website and an intake interview around these 5 lies so that they'll feel safe and known by you. But not that you would feed them additional information about the lie. To sift and then to sort, accurate and inaccurate, complete and incomplete, bias, not bias, prejudice, not prejudice, for me, against me, of God, not of God. You with me there? To sift and sort. Okay, these guys over here in that building, this is what they said about this thing in me. And these people over here in this building, this is what they said about, they said it was a baby in me that'll become like a person. How do I deal with that? Again, it's beyond the scope of today, but I wanted to give you the idea that this is why it's so hard. And synthesis, now synthesis has never been easy, even for those of us in the room that are older. But to synthesize is to take all that you know and make a meaningful whole that is yours. But a lot of our young people, have any of you seen it? They have, well, they said this, and well, now you're saying this, and my dad opinion, and my boyfriend, and my grandmother. And so they have all of this information. How many of you have seen that they don't know how to synthesize it into therefore? That's a higher order thinking skill. And we weren't good at it, and we were actually taught to think when we were younger. This younger generation who's all about the test score has been just turn the page, turn the page, turn the page. Come on, here's another book. Hurry, hurry. And we're not even in our churches helping them process and think. So I want you to understand, again, it's beyond the scope of a 32-minute, you know, intake interview. But don't assume that they've heard you and that they've heard what you've said and that they know what you meant. You know that because you're bright people. But then how do we follow up on that? How do we emphasize truth there? How do we help them take? How do we listen? Well, you heard that. I want to help you understand what they meant by that. I mean, I wonder if your language becomes richer, if your conversations go deeper, if we need to slow down. Really important to me. I hope I haven't just overwhelmed you. And believe it or not, and I have one more thing after this, but be quiet more often. I so appreciate what was shared with us. How many of you just realize how loud our culture is? Were you reminded of that by all of the videos and the slides and the movies and the lyrics? But the research says when we are quiet, now sleep is really important, but when we are quiet, ideas sift and sort. How many of you, when you're quiet, have an aha? Like you're emptying the dishwasher, changing a baby, folding clothes, driving in the car. I work out at a gym in Fort Worth, and I'll be working out, and I'll have an aha totally unrelated to a conversation I'm having with my trainer. I have been known to work out at the gym in Fort Worth with a golf pencil and a piece of paper in my pocket. She won't let me have anything but a golf pencil. She's afraid I'll be hurt. We don't want that pen to stab you in the middle of something. But I'll have these ahas. Why? Because I'm quiet. We have a generation of young people afraid of quiet. So they surround themselves. Guess what? I'm very music smart. I went to the university. I went to march in the band. I have no music on my phone, and I don't travel with earbuds. And I'm traveling 15 weeks in a row on airplanes. I that's my choice. I'm not saying that you're wrong and I'm right. But I've discovered that quiet is very important. Can you talk about that and teach that to your own children if you don't feel like you have empowerment over the clients you serve? I love how you guys are listening. I do talk in my book about establishing connecting zones and connecting days. Again, for those of you listening with parent ears, spaces and places where we have no screens at all. Mom's cell phone is the only one allowed on, but it's not in sight. And all the other stuff is turned off. Again, talk to me at my booth if you want to know more about that. But I'm going to end with this. And I'm sorry it's a negative, but I know you're not surprised. There is such evidence that many, many, many in this younger generation are stressed, overwhelmed, escaping, tired, depressed. Many of you have seen it. Maybe more than in the past. A lot of that is coming from the quick pace, the multitasking. I deserve to win. I have to stay happy. I can't process sadness. It's all about me. They didn't make me feel it was about me, so now I don't know who I am. You guys tracking with me? And so some of them are having sex to avoid some of the lies. I believe that. Others want to get pregnant so that the life circumstance changes. That's always been true, but I think the reasons are different. But here's what I want to say to you. It's interesting. I think some are addicted to the digital device and this idea that, oh my goodness, we pick this up 2,000 times a day. How many of you were just so alarmed by that you wanted to throw the phone? Anybody? Say, whoa, just watch it. But here's the thing. They're addicted to the adrenaline. We are not all addicted to technology. We are addicted to what technology does in our mind. How many of you bring up one game and you're going to play it one time to relax and 32 minutes later you're still playing? Anybody? How many of you meant to hit exit and you hit play again? And you had every intention to hit exit. I do it too because I deserve to win because like I'm amazing. The world revolves around me. I deserve to be happy. I have the choice. My choice is I will win. On my own authority, why can't I make this happen? And so a grown woman with really important purpose is still caught in the lie, but it's the adrenaline. And there's research that says the adrenaline from the technology is similar to the adrenaline of an illegal drug. Because when many of us are using technology, we know that we are cheating someone or something. And it messes with the whole mind and the heart and the soul. So here's the thing. I loved what David and his team were presenting. We cannot be angry at them. It's not their fault. Say that. We are allowing them to be raised by technology. We are allowing them to watch TV on a device in their room rather than in front of the TV with mom and dad so that we can process the sitcom dialogue. It's not their fault that they were born when they were born. I tell young people, when I do teenage presentations, I say, it's not your fault you were born now. And then I say, God's not going to rewrite the Bible for your generation. And patience will be forever and always a fruit of the Spirit. So get over yourself. You're going to follow Christ or follow Twitter? And I have had high school students clap at that moment because I think they're desperate for someone to speak truth. And they love knowing they're not bad because they're impatient. Now, is it sin? Again, I think it would depend upon the circumstances. But for us to say, I understand why this decision is so hard. You've been raised to believe choice is your right. And if you make a choice, oh my goodness, what are you going to do next? It's so hard. And by the way, this quick paced, I want it now generation, you want them to wait how many months to have the baby? Nine months? And how long will it be in diapers? I mean, you guys, they're used to having things happen in 5 seconds. Come on. So when you take what Access taught you and what I've been privileged to share and put it in a blender, we hope you end up with something that's practical and thought-provoking that you can use. Raise your hand if that's been the case. Well, praise God. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for this opportunity we've had to come together in this place at this time for this purpose in your glory. And Father God, all of us do pray that we'll put this into practice in even the small ways that we can. Help us, Father God, start with ourselves first, that we would choose to grow up if we need to, that we would choose to make different decisions because it would be good for us and you would be pleased. And I pray, Father God, that you will give us opportunities to share these ideas with those open to them. I pray that we're not overwhelmed, but that we'll do one thing, be grateful, come back and try something else, be successful and be grateful. Would you give us that rhythm, Father God? Because we really do want to please you. And I pray with great gratitude and joy in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.